And turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. So good to have Pastor and Mrs. McCandless with us here tonight. I honestly, brother, had forgotten that you were coming. I mean, I knew that you were coming. I just forgotten when you were going to be here. And so when I saw him tonight, I was just like, oh, that's right. But he snuck in. And any good ethical pastor would inform ahead of time another pastor that he's visiting in the area just to, you know, give him a heads up. But apparently that's not the case in South Dakota. So, no, I'm kidding you, brother. I love Brother McCandless very much. Very, very good friend. And so excited to see you. Good to have you and your wife with us tonight. And are you guys going to be here Sunday too?
Yes.
As well? All right, good. Good to have them. And I know they're here spending time with family for Christmas. So good to see you again, always, both of you. Take your Bibles as you already have, I'm assuming, in Luke chapter 2. Just want to read two verses here to get us going here tonight. But verse 10 is where I want to draw your attention here. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This year has been crazy. We've all thought that. We've all said that probably 100 times. I think, I don't know that we can really overstate it, because for me personally, this year's been unlike any other year that I have ever personally experienced in my life. And I think many people probably could say the same thing. We can start down the list of things. I mean, the least of which, or maybe the best place to start is with COVID-19 and all of the truths about it, all the lies about it, all of the above about it, if you will. It has completely transformed and changed the way that we live in America. It's impacted people to all different degrees. I think the Lord is gracious to us. Amen. No one that I know of, like, has in our church has experienced complete devastation because of it. But we hear stories about it all over the country, all over the place, of how it's impacted people to varying degrees. Sometimes people just losing their jobs. You know, the sad part is that it's true that ultimately some people have even lost their life. But it's completely changed everything about this country. At least, you know, the year started in, I think back to January of this year, and nothing like what we know now was visible in our minds in January of this year. I took two of my daughters to Minnesota for Megan's senior trip. We went to some hockey games, and we had a blast in January of 2020. You heard rumblings of COVID-19 then, but nothing was really different yet. And then we started the year with a great revival meeting with Brother McIntyre here in the first part of January. It seemed like there was just so much promise to 2020, and we've got our slogans of, you know, 2020 vision going into 2020 and all that kind of stuff. And all that, you look back, it seems so silly now, almost, to how things have changed and how this year has unfolded and how it's impacted people's lives. Then you got the politics of it all on top of that. Not just the politics of COVID-19, but politics in America. And the ugliness of it, and the divide in our country, and the downright dirty play that's going on continually, even now, right now. It's terrible when you dig past the mainstream media, and you start digging into the realities of things and people who are really in the know, stuff that's hidden from Americans' minds because of the media, it's dirty and it's terrible and it's evil at its core. There's corruption on every level. I mean, from the top all the way down. You see corruption on every level of government, not just on the federal government, but at state levels and local levels and into corporations and businesses and like right down to where you and I live, even to the point of people, just everyday people coming in contact with one another. There's corruption and there is evil and there's people taking advantage of others for their own personal gain. It seems as though there's no justice anywhere. And truth is truly fallen in the street. That's how it feels. And I'm saying all this not to bring all this back up to you to make you feel like, ugh, you know, because we probably feel like that anyway in a lot of ways. I don't know if you felt this way, but I've sort of felt this way that kind of coming into Christmas time and the Christmas season, it's like I don't really even care that much. I just don't. But it's sort of related to all the stuff going on. I don't think that that's actually really healthy, to be honest with you. I think with all of that, it's very easy for our focus to be changed, and our focus is stolen. When you think about what Christmas is should be and what why we celebrate, our focus gets stolen. But not only does our focus get stolen, and listen, we've had hard enough times when things are good to keep our focus, right? Because Christmas is commercialized and everything else in normal times, right? And we get caught up in the festivity and the holiday and the family, and family's good and we should have those traditions and so on. But like we talked about Sunday, none of that is really why Christmas should be special. Our focus can get stolen, but what happens when our focus is stolen? Very easily our joy can be stolen. And we can feel helpless. Maybe some sort of feel that way in the midst of all of this chaos. Sort of helpless. Like what we know what's right and we know what should be, but we're powerless to do something about it. Which can become overwhelming. Right? There's a song, a Christmas carol that's been just running through my head the last few days. And it's I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. You're familiar with it. The end of the phrase of every verse of that carol is peace on earth, goodwill to men. But I found it interesting as this song is just running through my head, these other verses came to light, and I was like, whoa, wait a second. Verse 3, now remember, every stanza, every phrase at the end of every verse is peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's what the angels proclaimed, amen? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said this in verse 3, and in despair, I bowed my head, there is no peace on earth. I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. In despair, that was the conclusion that he had come to. Very easy for us to come to the same conclusion or have the same kinds of feelings, right? Hate is strong in our world. Hate is strong in America. It mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. There is no peace on earth. It's true. But then verse 4 says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. Amen. The wrong shall fail. The right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. I said all that to say this. So often people lose or miss. Real joy and the message of good tidings of great joy to all people. And peace on earth is missed. Even Christian people miss it. And so I want to talk to you tonight about this issue of joy and peace at Christmas time. How do we have it? How do we experience it? How do we maintain it? How do we keep it? Well, there's some things in this passage here, and I didn't read all of the verses of this passage that we're going to look at. I just highlighted verse 10 that talks about good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. And so with this thought in mind, let's pray, and then we'll dig into some of these verses in this passage of Luke 2 that's very familiar, and that are going to be some principles for us to remember that help us to focus right, to experience real peace, God's peace, in a troublesome time. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, would you give us understanding of your word here tonight, and Lord, would you encourage us with it, with these principles, with these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. How do we have joy, peace at Christmas time? As the angels foretold of the birth of Christ and announced his birth, they said it was great joy. It was good tidings of great joy to all people. How do we feel that and experience that? Well, first of all, I want you to look in verses 1 through 5. What we need to remember is that we've got a great big God who's actually always in control. Here's the number one way that we have an experience peace is to remember that God is in control of things. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." You say, "Pastor, how does that show us that God is in control of all things?" Well, according to these verses, what we find is that God is in control of the affairs of men. Have you thought what an amazing thing it is that God ordained before the foundations of the world that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, would be born in Bethlehem, just like the prophet Micah foretold? Think about this. Before the foundations of the world, God established and ordained that Jesus the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. He foretold it with the prophets. Go back to Micah 5 and verse 2. Just hold your place in Luke here. Micah chapter 5 and look at verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He says the one who is going to rule is going to come out of you, Bethlehem Ephratah, even though you're little among the thousands of Judah. His beginning is, there wasn't one. He's been everlasting. He's eternal. God foreordained that before the foundations of the world, that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah of the Jews, the Savior of the world, would be born in Bethlehem. That was part of God's plan. And he so ordained things that when the fullness of time came, the Jesus, the Messiah, his mother, his legal father, Joseph, was living in Nazareth. And that in order to fulfill his word from the foundations of the world and to bring two little people to Bethlehem, God put it in the heart of an unsaved man, Caesar Augustus. God put it in the heart of a king that all the Roman world should be taxed. That word "taxed" means to be enrolled, like a census. and each one in his own town at just the right time. And so Joseph, being of the house and lineage of David, had to journey to Bethlehem. All of that was controlled by God. The thought to have a census, the thought to have all the world be taxed, Caesar Augustus thought that up according to himself, but actually God was in control of that. And here's the application. Have you ever felt sort of helpless and insignificant, helpless or even sometimes hopeless in a world of almost 8 billion people, where all the news of the day is of big political and economic and social agendas, all of these machines being pushed that we really have no say in, even though we know what's right? I mean, we've seen the insanity of the Liberal Democrats over the last 4 years, right? The Russia collusion hoax, the impeachment of President Trump for nothing, the cooperation with organizations, big government organizations like the FBI, for example, they've just come out and admitted that they knew that the Russia thing was a hoax. The China virus of this year, tyranny that's being portrayed at state and local levels, cheating and probably a stolen election, and all kinds of crazy out there that if you say it, you're labeled as a conspiracy theorist to discredit you as if you're a kook in a quack. But in reality, you're probably really close to the truth. All of that. And if you felt sort of helpless, I'm simply saying tonight, with all of that stuff going on, don't let that make you disheartened or dishappy or unhappy, rather. Because it is implicit in Scripture, friends, that the mammoth political machines and all the giant industrial complexes of this world, without them even knowing it, are actually being directed by God. Not for their own sake, even though they have some agenda behind it and they're trying to gain something for themselves. Actually, they're being directed by God for His sake and for His perfect plan and purpose in this world. What does Proverbs 21:1 say? That the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. All of the things that are happening right now are not out of God's control. Actually, they are things that are allowed of God for His purposes in this world. Here is what we need to remember: that God is in control of the affairs of men. Do I like what I see and what may ultimately impact me even to a further degree in this next year? Not necessarily or exactly. But when I remember that God is in control and that He's in the control of the affairs of men, what I don't have to do is let it steal my joy. Amen? But I think we're guilty of that. And it maybe is manifest in the way that we react and respond to things. We got to remember that He is the all-powerful, one true God, and we have all kinds of reasons to still rejoice. Unbeknownst to them out in the world, all the kings and all the presidents and all the premiers of this world actually follow the sovereign decrees of our Father who is in heaven. God is very much in control in spite of what we see or how we feel about what it's going on right now. This is how we maintain joy. It also means then that not only is He in control of the affairs of men, but He's also in control of the circumstances of your life. Look at verse 6 of Luke 2. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you'd think that if God so rules the world as to use an empire-wide census to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, surely God could have seen to it that there was room for them so that they could be more comfortable in these circumstances and situations. Yes, he could have. He absolutely could have. And Jesus could have been born into a wealthy family. Jesus also could have turned stone into bread in the wilderness. He could have called 10,000 angels to give him aid in Gethsemane. He could have come down off the cross and save himself. He could have done a lot of things. The question is not what God could do, but what God willed to do. That needs to be remembered right now. God's will was that through Jesus Christ, and that though Jesus Christ was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, and the no room circumstance was actually all part of God's divine plan. God rules all things, even the inconveniences or the problems in the lives of his children. We must not forget this, friends. We are blessed in America, praise the Lord. We have a very comfortable life, or have had a very comfortable life in America, praise the Lord. It is by the grace of God. I enjoy that. But we need to remember and never forget that Jesus said that those who would come after him must deny themselves and take up the cross. Meaning that the Christian life isn't a bed of roses. It's not always easy. He also said, remember the word that I spake unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. The Lord is laying it out for us. And to the one who claims, and to all of us who claim that I'm going to follow Christ, Jesus says this, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What am I saying? I'm saying that life isn't always easy. The Christian life is not easy. We've had it really easy in America. And praise the Lord for it. But that's not promised to us. Obviously, life doesn't always go as we plan or how we would like it to go. And yes, God could have seen to it that there was a place for Mary and Joseph, a place of comfort for her to bring forth Jesus Christ into this world. But that would have been a detour from God's perfect plan all along. Are you here? This is a reminder for us, for every Christian, that Jesus Christ is to be the absolute authority in our lives in all things, and we are to allow him the headship of every area of our being, even in struggle, even in difficult times, even in chaotic times. He is the ruler of my life. He's in control of the affairs of men. He's also in control of the circumstances of my life. And my highest priority needs to be that God's will is accomplished so that he would receive glory, even if it means suffering, even if it means trouble. How do we experience peace and joy? How do we keep from our focus being robbed and our joy being robbed? To remember this, that God is really, really big, friends, and he is in control of all the affairs of men. And the heart of kings is in his hand. All the circumstances that I go through as well are in his hand. And I can trust him. Amen? Secondly, beyond the fact that we need to remember that God is in control, we also need to then understand and remember that there is no reason to fear, no matter what the circumstance is. Verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." On more than one occasion, with the announcement of the birth of Christ, this message came, fear not. It was given by the angel to Zechariah. He said, fear not. He said it to Mary and to Joseph in their uncertainty of what was going to happen or what was coming. He said, fear not. And now the angel says to the shepherds, fear not. You know what? It's a natural thing for mortals to fear. I think one of the things that people fear the most is, or the reason why people fear is because of the unknown. We just don't know what's coming. If we knew, then we can prepare and we can, you know, manipulate, we can do all the things that would help bring some control of the situation. But when we don't know, we don't have control, and therefore we speculate, and then it can produce fear. We cannot see what tomorrow will bring. We cannot see what 2021 is going to bring. We only see the circumstances of right now and the circumstances of today, and we speculate about tomorrow. The future state of our country doesn't look so good. The political climate, the loss of freedom. Man, we're sure seeing a lot of that stuff starting to take place. And what do? We speculate about tomorrow. It can create fear. Fear of the unknown. Another fear of the unknown is when it comes to death. People fear death because of the unknown. Tomorrow, friend, may also bring about death. More than just the loss of freedom, right? It may bring about death. That's a fact. But even though fear is natural, fear, when it's allowed a place, robs us today of our joy and our peace. It doesn't change tomorrow. It only robs us of our joy and peace today. The angel said, fear not. Fear not. Why? Because of Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same reason why we should not fear today. Hebrews, go to the Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Keep your place here. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Here's Jesus who took the form of a man. He took part in flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In the fact that he knows our feelings, he knows our emotions, he knows exactly what we go through and experience in our mortal condition, Jesus Christ knows that and yet is still in control, and he is the reason why we still should not fear. The last phrase of this passage implies something tremendously liberating for our daily life. Number one, that he conquered death, amen, and the grave. And number two, that he's able to succor them, to comfort them who experience these trials of life. And listen, friend, if the worst fear, the fear of death, has been taken away through the death of Christ, then surely God does not want us to fear the lesser things in life, like circumstances. Amen? That's what, all that's happening right now is just, they're just circumstances. The message is, fear not. God is ruling the world, and God has the good of His children in mind. The key is this. Here's the key. To believe God's promises. When we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, we could speculate and we can become fearful, or we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. How? How does it keep our heart and mind? Through Christ Jesus. Because we believe the word. We believe the promise of God. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness," even in trying circumstances. Now that part I added in there, but it's a principle that is true, amen? Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." God knows exactly what we need, and He promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that He will strengthen us, that He will uphold us, that we are in His hand, and we cannot be moved from it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We need to remember that God is in control of the affairs of men. He's also in control of the circumstances of my life. And the message is, there's no reason to fear because I'm in His hand. Amen? Thirdly, and lastly, verses 13 and 14, if you go back to our text in Luke chapter 2, look at verse 13 and 14, and notice here that we have every reason to rejoice and that we can have peace. Verse 13, "And he said unto them," I'm in the wrong chapter, Luke chapter 2, verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Fear needs to be replaced with rejoicing. Fear needs to be replaced with rejoicing. Having no joy when you have a Savior like Jesus Christ, or having a joyless faith, is actually a contradiction in terms. It's not really possible, honestly. If we're really trusting and really believing, it's not possible to not have joy or peace. If we're really trusting, well, then why don't I have peace, or why don't I have joy? Because you're not trusting. Paul summed it up when he told the Philippians and he told the Thessalonians, when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, even in trying circumstances." Even in difficult times, there's still reason to rejoice. There can still be peace in the heart. Understand that this life is not going to be without tears. This life is not going to be without grief, and it's not going to be without pain. That is part of the human condition. But still, we can be joyful in spite of that because of God's promises to us. Yeah, we're going to experience some grief and some pain. And we're going to have some tears, but that is not the same thing as not having joy in the heart. We can experience those things and still be joyful at the same time because of God's promise. You know what? It's not wrong to cry or to weep with those who weep when there's real human sorrow. I mean, Jesus felt the same human emotion we do, and he even wept. But there can still be joy in spite of that, that is rooted in the fact that I trust God and his divine plan for my life and his purpose. We do have human sorrow, but we have no reason to let it rob us of our joy and our peace. How do you know if someone's lost some joy or they've been robbed of it? Well, I think maybe the evidence of that comes in our reactions and our behaviors when we're frustrated with things. And people walking around with a little bit of an edge right now. I know, I have too. With all of the things going on, it can make you really mad and frustrated, and we can react and we can respond in ways that maybe reveal the fact that we've kind of lost some of our focus. There is peace. There can be peace in my heart. And there even can be goodwill toward men because of Christ. Amen? But you know what? The birth of Christ does not bring peace to all. It's a dark world out there. And so what is the answer? Well, that peace is for those who believe, who choose to believe. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. They choose to not believe. You know that it was only to Jesus' disciples that he said in John chapter 14, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you." It was only to his disciples that he said that he promised peace. And the people who enjoy the peace of God that will pass all understanding are those who have a firm faith in the promise of God. And this is the key that unlocks the treasure chest of God's peace in the life of a believer. And when we do trust the promise of God, and when our faith is firmly fixed on him, we remember that he's in control of all these things. He's also in control of the circumstances of my life, and I can trust him in all of those things. When we really have our faith fixed on the Lord, man, we experience his promise, the promise that of the peace that he said he would give. And in that, God is glorified. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. But you got to believe the promise of God. Amen? Let's keep our eyes focused on God and his promises and his purpose in this world. It's the key to joy and peace in these days. And then, friend, when you experience it, go tell someone about it. The last part of this passage really talks about that. Verse 17 says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." A good way to experience some joy in this season is to tell someone else of what God has done for you because of Jesus Christ being born into this world. Amen? Tell someone the story of Jesus. That helped get the focus back and the focus right. And prayerfully, hopefully, we take some time to reflect and just re-examine and refocus, not on all the circumstances, but on Christ. And as God's people, we can be a testimony and a light in this dark world to people who are hopeless. Amen? And in that, God is glorified. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd encourage us with your word, challenge us as well in the way that we live, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we portray our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm thankful that we can, in spite of circumstances, understand and know a peace that passes all understanding. In spite of circumstances, we can be joyful in this world because of Jesus Christ and because of the promise of God, and we know what's coming. And we can rest in, even through difficult, troublesome, trying times that may actually get worse, we can still know and experience a measure of peace and joy in the heart. May our joy not be robbed because of fear or because of circumstances or trying times. Help us keep our eyes on the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.